This is Tyler Giller, 31, Doodle.
And James Witten, 40, Hooch.
And welcome to episode four?
Four.
Stuff we're sharing. I did do a double take there. I couldn't remember if this was three or four. So, it was like the 24th was last time we recorded.
Been 3 weeks.
Yep, been 3 weeks. We survived Halloween. I don't know if my kids' teeth have survived Halloween, but yep, we did.
I still have half of a grocery bag of candy in my pantry that just stares at me every time I go in there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate what my children have brought into my house.
We had some great Halloween themed beatdowns throughout the valley. I enjoyed reading some of the back blast that we had out there. It was a good time. So, what else has been happening other than Halloween?
Well, you weren't there.
No, I had to miss it.
But we had convergence on the settler side out there at Old Glory this last weekend. Great time. 50 men at a beatdown. So that's always great.
I heard that there were table pushes galore.
Table pushes forward and backwards. Backwards were not, they were not a crowd favorite. Thank you, Ninestein. Really appreciate that. And but of note, we had three FNGs out there.
That's pretty good. I heard y'all had a little fun naming them too.
Two of them even made it to Slack. One of them really, really unfortunate name. I think it got disseminated down to him where that came from. So Prom Queen, if you're listening to this, don't take it personal, buddy. It's a good movement.
Thanks for taking one for the team.
I make so many jokes.
So we also had the Veterans Day Rock that hosted by Kraken. Had a couple guys out there at that.
Yeah, 8.5 miles. So we managed. I think we averaged somewhere right just above 16-minute miles for the whole
solid day.
So it's pretty good.
Solid day. And so busy 3 weeks. What's the next couple weeks hold for us here?
So we've got our beatdown on the Blue, and that's, you know, in 2 days as the crow flies from when we're sitting right here, and probably just tomorrow by the time you're listening to this. So Saturday, the 16th at 6 a.m. down at Albertson Stadium on the Blue.
And Double Down being hosted by Blade and Tater on the Black, or the I think outside the stadium. I think that starts at 0500.
Are they running?
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that, but probably.
No, I've got the kids. You know, I got the deal. They're going to get out of bed. We're going to be out of the house at 0530. I don't know that I could dial that back an extra hour and say, hey, just stand here while I go do something.
Yeah, hey, probably not. My wife was like, 06, you're not taking the kids that early. I was like, okay. So, but yeah, I didn't make it last year. I saw all the pictures, had serious FOMO out of that. So I'm looking forward to hitting that beat down here Saturday.
A good time. I'm looking forward to carrying on that tradition. So, and thank you, Huckleberry, again for opening up that opportunity to us, and many things to come.
Yep. And then coming up the following Saturday, the 23rd, we've got the flag plant out in Emmett,
the OTBs on fire right now. Do you know how many off the books we have right now?
I think we have four of them right now, right?
I see you're stealing the cheat, stealing
the notes. That's what we make cheat sheets for.
It is actually correct, sir. We have four off the books workouts right now. So and I think a lot of these guys, y'all rate the plan. You know, I hate to tell Wooderson how to do his job. I would dream of it. Y'all rate the plan. I'm seeing these averages, but so after some two Saturdays from now, on the 23rd out there in Emmett, we will be christening that AO Black Canyon. So many, many praises and thanks to Russet for taking that on, looking at his community, seeing a need, and finding value in what we've been doing here in Ada County and taking that back home and spreading that and giving this away. So way to go, Russet. You are a hymn of the highest order, and keep it up, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, excellent job out there. And then
end of this month, national holiday. Gotta feed yourself.
The Gobbler Challenge.
You gotta earn your bird.
Yeah. Oh, Thanksgiving. That's right. I was getting excited for Gobbler Challenge. I didn't want to feel my shoulders this year again. Oh, so in case you're confused, on Turkey Day, Thanksgiving, my wife's favorite holiday, and what they I just consider to be the Gobbler Day, we have the Gobbler Challenge. So we have both Tower and Jim hosting the Gobbler Challenge this year, and we got a little bit of something afterwards too.
Yeah. So 0600. So normal time. Actually, not normal time.
Yeah. So we're 5:15 for normal. 5:15? No, I think Tower. We're gonna go 6. Thank you, Bedpan, for acquiescing to my request for 0600. As much as I love the Gobbler Challenge, I also love my sleep.
Yeah, Grout, you let me know if it's 0515. I'll be there regardless. Just let me know who's queuing the Gobbler this year. So Gobbler Challenge comes from a gentleman, oddly, named Gobbler. Out of the Seattle region. Posts a challenge every single year to earn your bird. So we won't know what that challenge is or what the workout's going to be until the week of, but it's all in a good time. And following this year, we've got the Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
We got some Turkey Day football.
Yeah, Bricks is putting this on. I'm pretty excited to see this come together. I think there's quite a few men in our valley who enjoy a little competition.
Just a little.
And I'm excited for someone to take it a little too far.
So there is a rules committee, I've heard.
No, I'm not on it.
There's some whispers in the bushes. So if you're interested in participating in, organizing this thing and setting the boundaries for the men on the field of play.
Or lack thereof, boundaries.
There will be stretching of rules, I am certain, especially if, I'm not going to, no, freighter, slice, blade. You ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right, boys? I know you agree with that.
Why not? Why make rules if you're not going to bend them?
You got to stretch it out, man. Take advantage.
So, per usual, busy couple weeks ahead of us. I don't think there isn't. I love it. We're so big in the valley here that I feel like every weekend there's something you could be participating in out here. It's pretty cool. I scrolled through our events page trying to find Ruckmas, and I was like, man, there's so many events. Shout out to Ruckmas coming up in December.
We'll get it next time. Next time. It'll make it. We got to get through November first, and then we'll get the December calendar on here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's what's been happening. And that's what's going to be happening. So what do we got for milestones? We got newcomers. We got guys who have hit milestones as far as their beatdowns have been concerned. And one lonely VQ.
Yeah, one lonely VQ. And so let's shout out the VQ first. So we got Howley, got his VQ down the day before Election Day. Had 8 packs out there for a nice patriotic or Election Day themed beatdown. I was not there, but I enjoy going back and reading the backblasts and the comments afterwards. It sounds like everyone really enjoyed it and had a great time out there.
Way to step up, Howley. So, hey, guys, one VQ, that's great, but we can do better. So, guys, at your AOs, you know the guys who are out there who have been there for a minute. They've been there for 20, 30 beatdowns.
55 beatdowns, Mr. Rogers.
And if these guys haven't had their co-Qs and their VQs yet, you need to start getting in their ear. Because at the end of the day, this is not a workout group. This isn't just adult recess. I think that's what keeps a lot of us coming back to this. And it's the thing that's entertaining and fun. But at the end of the day, we are a workout. No, not a workout group. We're not a leadership group with a workout problem. So get these guys out there and willing and set up to lead. That's what we're here to do. Plant, grow, serve.
So what about FNGs?
Yeah, we got 10 of them.
Dang, 10 of them.
And this is the FNGs who have lasted long enough to at least get their name up on Slack. So if you know guys who aren't on Slack yet, good job, Sputnik. Finally taking the dive.
Sputnik.
Yay! Finally. But you're not an FNG in this list, though. You get tertiary. So, new in this last 3 weeks, we got Ringworm, Ifroad, Fluffy, Airbud, Casper, Yellowstone, Bless, which I believe this is short for Bless Your Heart.
Oh.
followed by another one of our gentlemen named at the Convergence Prom Queen and Lot Lizard.
Oh, dear.
And Bunny Slope. Yeah, are we just running out of names, or are these just becoming more painful?
Yeah. Well, and hey, backyard folks, don't forget we got to get Bucket on Slack. Looking at you, Rump Roast.
So, whole pack of guys there. Awesome names. I hope to meet you guys real soon out there in the gloom. Appreciate you.
All right. What about our packs who are no longer FNGs and have hit some milestones?
Some of these, right? So, at the 100, so at the century mark, we've got Noid out there of Rebel fame.
Now, if he had, let's see. Every beatdown he does, he probably runs a couple miles beforehand. So you got to think 100 times how many miles he does. That's goodness.
You get credit for the post.
Yeah.
You get credit for the post. Everything else is for you. And the bringer of light, our own personal Prometheus of the backyard, we have Rampage.
Rampage! Rampage at Ruckmaster of backyard.
Yes, sir. You talk about a guy who puts down extra miles.
Yeah.
Now, that's our Mr. Rampage. So well done, sir. At 300, we have the one, the only, the Mockingbird himself, your favorite German, Ninestein. Congratulations, Ninestein, on living long enough to hit 300 beatdowns without any of us beating you down. Seriously, we love you, brother. Really appreciate the energy that you always bring to a beatdown. It's always going to be a chuckle fest when Ninestein's around and you know it. So thank you for being you and bringing that energy to these beatdowns here in the Valley, man. Wouldn't be the same without you.
And drum roll, please. We didn't test if that was going to sound good on recording before we did it. Not cutting it.
So we have the one, the only, the Nantan of the Settlers region. Rockin' Man on 700 beatdowns. How does number 2 on the leaderboard all time in F3 Boise sound for you, Rocket Man? A consummate leader, a wonderful friend, somebody who's been welcoming and embracing to not only the mission of F3, but the men who have stepped in here and are trying to follow it, build it, and grow with it. Rocket Man, the words aren't enough to tell you what you mean to everybody here in F3. Here on the west side of town and extending out. You're a light, man. You're the standard. So keep it up. I can't wait to see you at 4 digits and not just 3. So congrats on 700, man. That's an amazing commitment. Well done, sir.
You know, Rocket Man cued my first beatdown.
Did he?
Yeah, with Tunnel of Love. A lot of Tunnel of Love.
Yeah, he's Italian.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Well, and we got some AO milestones to celebrate. Our friends, Deep Dish and Stinger and some of the other tech wizards that understand Slack way better than I do showed us some cool metrics that we got out there. And so we're gonna take a moment to dive into some of them.
Let me see it.
So this time it's AOs and the number of beatdowns we got at AOs. So coming up on 300, sitting at 298 right now, we got Bellagio.
There you go. Seems just yesterday I started climbing up that hill.
And then for only meeting one day a week, mm-hmm. they've creeped up a pretty, in 100 weeks. Black Diamond.
The men.
The 100.
Men, the men of the weighted vest. If you've never been out to a Black Diamond, if you feel that sometimes that 45 minutes isn't pushing you enough or you don't feel you're getting the challenge that you're looking for physically from some of these beatdowns, I recommend you truck yourself over to Black Diamond. Bring your weight vest. It takes an hour. They don't stretch. They go right into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they get down. So you need a challenge. You head on over to Black Diamond. They've had 100 beatdowns to kind of perfect their craft and their issuance of pain and suffering. Go enjoy that town.
And then the next one we got on here is Camelsback. I remember when this one... We started the OTB out there.
Yeah, and the black hole.
Yep. Camelsback, 107. Good work, guys, climbing that hill.
Respectable.
Over 100.
Respectable.
Nice work. And then...
And a smaller hill. Iron Mountain. It's a much smaller hill.
I'm trying to think. Do they even have a hill?
They have a hill. There's a hill. Have you ever been on the hill there?
I think it's maybe not.
Mountains and molehill. Iron molehill doesn't sound good. You guys have been out there 299 times in the gloom, celebrating what F3 does best. So thank you guys for that commitment and pushing that milestone. So get over that hump. Hit your 300.
How many days a week does Old Glory meet? Are they two or three?
Two.
2 days a week. In a couple weeks here.
That's the original.
Yeah, in a couple weeks, we've got 389 beatdowns right now for Old Glory. So in 11, so was that 5 weeks? Old Glory will hit their 400.
You would think being the oldest, they'd have the most, but it just ain't so.
Who we got the most on here? Jim, 588 right now. Again, another one in a couple weeks. You should be seeing a 600 beatdown celebration out of them.
I really hope whoever cues that day doesn't realize it, because that's not a number that I want to work toward.
I'm going to go find that now. Watch out, Jim. I'm coming for you.
Toodles doing that.
All right. And let's not forget about our OTBs out there.
Yes, sir.
So OTBs, why the OTB? Why do we do OTBs in F3?
It's the books. So these don't count towards, you know, much of your collection of how many beatdowns you participated in, or at least they traditionally did. I think we track them.
We track them here, yep.
But they were off the books because they were unofficial. So before you had flags and before you allowed to plant flags, have that shovel flag hanging out in front of your beatdown, you kind of had to pass through the crucible of what was going to be the identity of your AO. Who was going to be there? Who were the new people that you were going to bring in? Where was the proof that where you were planting that flag was going to be sustainable and draw new men in? So that's the process that you go through with off the books, is can you create something that's sustainable with a group of men who are constant and consistent and being proximate to each other and coming out and putting the work in so we can support that and grow. We got four of them, right? Soon to be three.
Yep. We talked about Emmett earlier, fly planting up here on the 23rd.
Yeah.
They've had 32 total beatdowns, and they average 5.5 packs per beatdown. That's pretty awesome.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Now, the leader in the pack of most number of beatdowns, I'm not sure if this is like a trophy sort of thing or if this is like a hit, nudge, nudge. Bernie Fisher out there in CUNA, 44 beatdowns at 5.8 packs per beatdown.
We're doing all right, boys.
Yeah.
Let's get some.
Yep. And then we got West Canyon Elementary, 18 beatdowns and averaging 5.1 packs. And then the Capitol, topping it off, 6.9 packs per beatdown. I think that's showing that this is a location that was long overdue, because they've only got 16 beatdowns under the belt.
Pushing into the north end.
Yeah. I think they're averaging higher packs count per beatdown than some of our established, you know, flag DAOs. So I think Capitol, good work, / recognizing that need and then hopping on it and then getting it done. So excellent job. Looking forward to seeing more from there and then eventually a flag plant from it.
So what would somebody do if they see a need? All right, let's say you're out there kind of in the sticks. You've got to travel a little bit to get to your home AO. Why shouldn't somebody plant an AO near them?
Why not?
What would you do if you wanted to do that?
So my first step would be I'd go out and I'd go find myself a suitable location to work out.
Okay.
So I think what makes a site suitable is just not that there's an exciting feature. You know, Camel's Back is nice. It's got the hill right there. It's got the Camel's Back. But what makes Camel's Back great is it's got a community around it. Right. What makes, you know, some of our other AO's backyard great is because it's got Bear Creek, that whole neighborhood right there around it. And you see the men who come out to that location is because there's a community that it serves. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a man and I'm driving too far to get to my beatdowns, I'm looking at, where's the nearest community around me that could use men in fellowship and a relationship with each other. And then you pick your park, pick your poison, because let's be honest. You can turn anything into a great beatdown, any location. Look at Bleach. You got all those little prickers in the grass. You get kicked off of your bleachers.
Twice.
Goose Dynasty's got the Goose Poop Central. And I think they constantly get the cops rolling up on them as well.
Really selling it.
Yeah. But But if you look at those locations, they are great because they serve a community where they're at. So find your community, then find your location, and then scout it.
So if this is something that's appealing to you, you see a community in need of service, a flag that needs to be planted, we're looking at two things right there. All right, who's going to be leading it? What's their vision? And is there a community that we're serving? So you're probably looking at star fishing off of another AO that might have grown a little too big. That's how we got the Bellagio, starfish off the gem. What I mean by starfish, so this is another piece of F3 vernacular, is if you take a starfish, there's a difference between a starfish and a spider, right? They all have appendages sticking off of them. But if I cut a spider in half, what do I get?
Dead. I get freaking dead.
Two pieces of a dead spider. If I cut the arm off of a starfish, I end up with another starfish. There's the material and the information there that it will grow a copy of itself. So when an AO grows too large, what we do is we starfish it. We take a contingent of the people who are there at that AO and we plant them somewhere else so they can grow and have their space. So we do have leadership. Their job is to support this. Talk to your ALQ, and I believe Wooderson, our man, is the Q of expansion. So if you see those gaps, if you see those needs, if that's something that you're interested in and that's something you want to pursue, that would be the route that I would point you towards. So
we are free to lead men. So if you see an opportunity, let's jump on it. And don't expect starting an AO to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I think that is something that you got to be ready to have those solo BDs, the two-person BDs. Mm-hmm. We've probably had a fair share of two-person BDs out at Bernie Fisher every once in a while. I bet you Russet up there and Emmett had his fair share of two, three-person BDs, same with West Canyon Elementary.
There were days it was just me, Canuck, and Huckleberry out there in the snow at Bleach when we started that.
Yep. So got to be comfortable with the small workout groups.
Because it will grow. If you're producing something that's of value, men will find it and they will come and participate and they'll help you grow it. So from our mouths to your ears into your hearts, I hope.
Yeah. Awesome. And so one last thing to talk about too is some newer folks may or may not be familiar with, but we'll call it the Cotter Report. So what is the Cotter Report? Cotter Report comes from a movie or a TV show I've never seen.
It's older than me. So it's Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah. So what the Cotter Report is, it tells us who haven't we seen in a while. All right. There's a report in Slack. And if you need it, message me. I can send you the link to it. But it's a good way to see, hey, who hasn't been coming out? Who have we lost track of? There's a lot of us out there. And it might be pretty easy. Every once in a while, like, oh, I haven't seen that individual in 2-3 weeks. This should be your cue to check on your man. All right. I bring up the Cotter Reports not because it's a we need to drag the man back out into the gloom. Maybe we're not filling the hole that he needs filled.
Maybe he's going through the flux. Maybe there's an issue going on that's preventing him from coming out.
Yep. But the least you can do is make sure your man is okay. Find out how can we support him. Maybe he's doing fantastic. You know, and good for them. So if you were curious about the Cotter Report, really look for those guys who haven't been out 2-4 weeks, reach out to them, find out how they're doing, find out how we can support them. So if you hear that word being thrown out there, I think DAPA does a pretty good job of reaching out to some of the AOQs out in high desert and challenging them. Hey, where have you seen this guy? How's he doing? And checking on them. You'd be surprised the things you learn about folks when you reach out to them. They haven't been around for a while, because we as men, we have a tendency not to share things when things get tough. I've been in some tough spots and then afterwards come through and told someone about it, and they looked at me, scrambled, and goes, why the hell didn't you say anything? And I'm like, you know what? I don't have a good reason.
Scary. Yeah.
So that's my spiel on the Cotter Report for now.
I think it's good. If you don't have the phone number of at least one guy from your home AO in your phone and like have his first name in there, like fix that. Make that a goal for this week. Let's make these connections expand past the gloom. And if all you're looking for is that connection in the gloom right now, great. That's where you're at. But we should be pushing this beyond the gloom and deepening these relationships and finding more value and more support. That's our goal. So push deeper into our fellowship.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of pushing deeper into relationships,
yes, sir.
A man only has enough capacity for so many relationships.
Yeah, time and energy, right? We have finite resources.
And I'm sure F3's got a name for this.
We do. So in the Q source, in the first portion, in part of the Get Right, we talk about something called our concentrica. And it's concentric rings. Think of a bullseye, an archery target. And those rings spread out from our most important relationships that are most critical to us succeeding and doing the things that we need to do and accelerating our lives and building our lives and going outwards. And you'll find as we go through our lives, again, we only have a limited amount of time and energy to put into these relationships. A lot of the greater society kind of, I don't know, so in F3 we call it Goo Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Will tell us that we need to achieve work-life balance as if it's a set of scales that I put an equal amount here and an equal amount here, and that equals happiness and balance and truth and justice in the American way. And that just isn't true. What it is sometimes some relationships are going to require more effort. Some relationships are going to have to be put aside and backed off on for a time while others get more of your attention. All of them are critical, and all of them need your participation to some level or another, but some of them are going to need more effort. And sometimes that means turning up the effort and making sure that you live in third. So as F3 defines it, from the inside of the circle working out, we have our M, right?
What's an M?
Most important relationship. That's your wife, guys. This is the person that we've decided to build a life with. Our relationship with our M is the transformational relationship. It takes us from being a singleton to us and we. This is that person that, again, we're building that life with. We have common goals. We're going to be sticking with this person and creating a life. Outside of that and built from that relationship, we have our shorties, 2.0s, our children. Now, our children is our sacrificial relationship. How much money does a man give to his children? Well, he takes the money that he has, divides it by the number of children that he has, and that's your answer. And that comes with your time and your energy, too. You put into this relationship and you give in this relationship. Now, all the other relationships that we're going to talk about are relationships that we can kind of willingly separate ourselves from. We can detach ourselves from a wife, from a shield lock, from a job. However, you cannot sever the relationship that you have with the child. No matter where you go, what you do, that child is going to feel the impact of what you are putting into that relationship or not.
So I get this question all the time, or we have these discussions with other men all the time. I've had this discussion with my wife before. And then seeing how the F3 circles are set, you know, the M is first and the 2.0. You hear a lot of people say, no, my kids are first and then my spouse.
No.
I could not disagree more with that statement. But it's, I think for some people, it's hard to wrap their head around. I think for some women too, it's kind of hard to wrap their heads around too. And I've gone to my wife, I was like, we need to prioritize us. And if we're right, the way we raise our kids is going to be right.
And that's so critical and key. Like, your kids may take more of your time and your effort and your conscious thinking because they're crying. They need you. Again, that is the sacrificial relationship. You must give of yourself to put into that relationship and build that kid into an adult. Now, you don't get to choose that relationship.
You don't get to choose your kids. I chose my wife.
But you choose your wife. You choose your partner. You choose that M, and you've brought that person into your life to build a life with those children. And if you are establishing a relationship with your kids without thought to how that changes the relationship that you have with your M, you're headed for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the M is at the center of that relationship. Because, guys, your wife has things to give to your children in those relationships that you will not be as good at giving than she is, right? She's going to have skills and motivations and insights that you don't. And that's why that relationship is so strong. And we have things as men to bring to our children's lives that our wives don't have. They don't think the same way that we do. They don't fill the same role. So it's important that your kids get both. So even in the occasion where we separate or there's a divorce or a death, your kids need that. They need both sides. They need the input and the influence from both.
And the new M you bring in is going to have an impact on you, which is going to have an impact on 2.0s and in those sort of situations. You know, so you've seen, you see a lot of times, like I'll take, I've seen a lot of times where people have a new spouse come into the picture, or I should say, I know people who are the children of a new spouse come into the picture, and that new individual brings in a whole different dynamic and can change the person who was their biological parent. So you have a father who is in one way, good or bad, and then brings in a new M, and maybe that changes them for the better, and then you become a stellar. Sometimes that person can drag them back. So you need to watch your relationship with your M and how that affects your 2.0s, whether the M is your biological children's M, you know, or mother or not. I think that is always a challenging situation to navigate.
So long story short on this piece of this tangent is, if the relationship with your M is not right, it is going to impact the relationship that you can have with your children and your ability to succeed in your mission of raising them. So outside, the next ring out from your children is your shield lock.
So what is a shield lock?
So your shield lock, it's not just a circle of friends. A shield lock is a group of men who are coming together to support each other in their acceleration and with accountability. And that's accountability with a capital A. So this isn't the kind of accountability, oh, you know, you'll get them next time, slugger, don't worry. No, it's, hey, you've been talking about this shit for a month and you haven't done anything about it. What are you going to do?
Piss or get off the pot.
Let's go. Let's move. Because we talk about it as a shield lock, right? That's Romans or Greeks standing in a phalanx, shoulder to shoulder, the man next to him holding up his shield and protecting the blind side and the weak side of the man who's next to him, critically relying on him to protect him from an outside force that he can't counteract himself. We all have blind spots. We all have our things and our unique little demons and problems that come up and bite us. And they can sneak up because they're a part of us. They're our jesters. They're the things that we don't want to embrace, but the things that have a hold of us to some level or another. So to bring another man alongside you, to trust him with that knowledge and that information of what you struggle with, and to trust him in return to take his knowledge of you and what you share with him to help you gain an upper hand, to create some guardrails, keep you out of the ditch and the gutter and on the right track and accelerating.
Now, I think so. Shield locks. I think a lot of men struggle to find themselves in a shield lock. I think the vulnerability and the accountability can be kind of scary things. I don't want another person in my life telling me I'm doing something wrong. I got my M for that, right? I got my 2.0s. They will tell me plenty of times, Daddy, you didn't do that right.
For sure.
So what do you think the core difference is between the accountability that a shield lock provides you versus the accountability that you have towards your 2.0s and the accountability that your M is hopefully providing you as well?
So I think there's two kind of very different conversations. Your relationship with your kids, like accountability, works in one direction.
One direction, yeah.
You are accountable for your behavior to them, right? They are not your accountability buddy. They're not the one who should be calling you out on what you're doing. If that's where you're at, you are very, very wrong. All right.
Even making PB&J sandwich? I get called out on my PB&Js a lot.
No, the things I'm get off the floor, we haven't eaten today.
Yeah.
That's the kind of accountability that we're trying to avoid in that relationship, right? And that's the guy who's upside down. He's a survivor, right? Or he's the saddest of clowns.
I've seen a lot of people who came through situations like that.
Your kids are not your friends.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to raise themselves. You are accountable to provide them what they need. It doesn't work the other way. They are not your emotional support animal. All right. So I don't think I'm talking to anybody who really needs to hear that. I think that struck a chord.
Yeah.
So, and then with your wife, right? I'm building a relationship. Your wife is not your best friend.
No.
Your wife is the most important relationship that you have. Now, there are things that you will tell your best friend and the people in your shield lock that you will not bring to your wife. certainly not initially.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sometimes you need a sounding board.
So you're sitting in your safe space, all right? If you struggle with pornography, how many of you guys are going to go talk to your wife about that today? Now, how many of you guys could bring that to a circle of trust and bring that into a man who's going to come alongside you and try to help you beat that? Your wife is also somebody who wants to be supportive in that relationship, and she's probably not willing and not able to provide you with capital A accountability when you don't come through on those things. She's going to be one to tell you it's all right, try again. Don't worry, I'm going to be here. Whereas your buddy that you're coming out into the gloom with, come alongside, accelerating yourself and helping him accelerate, are going to have a very different relationship and drive to fix those things.
Very different perspective, too.
100%.
I love bringing to the men that she locked that this is the conversation my wife and I had. Where did I go wrong? Where did, you know, help me see the other different perspectives that happen here, and hearing the different perspectives of the vastly different personalities that are, I find myself in the conversation with, be like, well, you probably shouldn't have said that. And she probably took it this way. And you're going, and in the back of my mind, I already know it. But to hear someone else say it, be like, yeah, you're not alone in thinking that.
Yeah, you're sure. It's another thing. Your shield isn't your group of drinking buddies that's going to support you in everything that you say.
Yeah.
When you're being a dumbass, it's their job to tell you, hey, you're kind of being a dumbass, and you need to fix it.
Yeah. Well, good.
Shield lock is tough. I encourage everybody to reach out, find a group of guys that you're kind of at the same place and you're supporting each other, and it's somebody that you trust, you get along with, that you're moving in kind of a similar direction at a similar pace.
Now, I want to dive into what you said there a little. Similar direction, similar place.
Yeah.
We as men, some people move. Some people change where they're at physically. Some people change where they're at emotionally. Some people change where they're at with their family structure. And I think one of the hard things for a man to do is they get ingrained in or entrenched in a relationship with other men. But those trenches start to become wider and wider and further apart. And proximity is no longer possible.
Okay.
Or you have such varying different positions you are. Like I got some buddies, college buddies that I wish I still lived near, and I wish that they were all in a similar place to me. But they can't provide emotional support for me when I'm like talking about, what do I do? How do I raise these three boys? They ain't got kids.
Yeah.
They can't provide the same perspective, right? And so understanding that, seeing that, and shifting your shield lock a little bit.
Yeah.
It should be – we mentioned it a little bit earlier with your M, is you're doing everything you can to be with the end. It's not a separate – that is a relationship that it should be harder to separate from than your shield lock, right? And your shield lock shouldn't be easy to separate from. And if you do, it should come from a place of, I am not providing to these men what they need from me, and they cannot provide what I need from them. I heard this analogy recently. I wish I remember where it was. I'm great at remembering these pictures. Terrible remembering who said them. But it was talking about close relationships. This will kind of get into the whetstone and the mammon a little bit too. But it was talking about close relationships are like driving a car.
Okay.
All right. You're the driver in your own life, and you've got the person sitting shotgun, and they're the people who are helping direct your life, because they're your backseat driver. They're giving you the directions. They got control over what's on the radio. They can mess with your air conditioning. They can, you know, have a direct impact on you as the driver.
They're impacting your quality of life.
Yes. And then, but as those people drift out of where you are in your life, they start to take a little bit further seat in the back. And then someone else is now in that driver's seat or in the passenger seat. And then it doesn't mean you have to completely excommunicate that person. They're still there. They're still, you can hear them from the back seat a little bit, but they're not the ones helping you direct. And I would say that they're not your shield lock.
But they can't be in a shield lock.
You can't. You cutting someone from the shield lock isn't necessarily cutting them from your life, but it's like, you're not affecting where I'm going on this trip. You're a passenger, my friend.
That's the hardest thing in creating shield lock, is finding those relationships that actually fit the need of what you're trying to accomplish. So without turning this into a huge conversation and dedicated to shield lock.
Oh, we still got six more minutes.
So shield lock, it needs to have the three P's. All right. It must be proximate. It must be purposeful. And it must be
periodic.
So it must occur at regular intervals. So If you want any more support on this, all right, the Q Source is all online. You can find that at freenation.com/Q Source, or you can just put in /ShieldLock, and it's going to take you right to that chapter. So if you're interested in this, also out at Bleach on Wednesday, shameless plug, as a double down, I host a Ruck and Discuss. And right now we're actually moving through this, and we're on to this next ring of our Concentrica. So past the shield lock, now we have the whetstone and the blade. So, and this is a mentor relationship. So, you know, we talked about the M is the transformational relationship. Your kids are your sacrificial relationship. Your shield lock is a horizontal relationship between men. So it's a relationship between equals. Whereas the relationship between a whetstone and a blade is a vertical relationship between men. One man has something to give and to teach the man who is coming to him for that information. So we have a whetstone, somebody who's hardened, who's going to take that blade, that man who needs to learn what that man has to impart, and he's going to start taking the rough edges off of him. He's going to remove some material, and he's going to sharpen that blade to the purpose that he has.
I think this one is a tricky one to find. Because I think that you're going to find a professional, you know, someone in your profession that is, you know, a mentor. You can find someone that's personally outside of your profession, a mentor, maybe a spiritual mentor. Sure. Maybe you got one in each of those. But choosing a mentor, I think, is a deliberate task. It needs to be, you know, a deliberate acknowledgement between the mentee and the mentor, and recognizing, and both need to recognize that, you have a part in shaping me in my life, and you're in a position where I want to be. And it isn't, I don't think this is a relationship that happens by accident.
No. So this relationship only happens if one of the two parties initiate it, meaning the blade comes to the whetstone saying, "Sir, teach me, let me," and it, you know, "we're not worthy." "We're not worthy." Or the whetstone comes to the blade and said, "Son, let me grab you by the ear. There's some shit you need to know."
Yep.
And he establishes that relationship. So it takes a bit of humility on both parts to enter into this kind of relationship and accountability. Again, this is where we find capital A accountability. Mm-hmm. This relationship also needs to be proximate, periodic, and purposeful. But it's one party imparting knowledge, and I hesitate to use the word judgment, but that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing on this and this and this that we talked about?
How do I rank?
And are you succeeding, or are you in need of improvement and correction? Mm-hmm. And that's big. That's big, guys.
And you can be a mentor while also receiving mentorship.
100%.
You can be the whetstone and the blade.
100%. I only know of one perfect man, and none of us are it. Mm-mm. You can read about it. It's in a book.
I know some of y'all don't like to read, though. That's why we did a podcast.
So whetstone and the blade is that vertical relationship. And lastly, we have mammon, another biblical term. This is our relationship with our job. And the relationship we have with our work is our sustaining relationship. Too often as men, like when you meet a guy and you learn what his name is, what's the next thing you're going to ask him?
What do you do?
What do you do? Right? That's part of our identity. It's, you know, it's almost more important than, "Hey, are you married? Do you have kids? You know, what's your political affiliation?" No, it's, "What do you do for work?" Because I'm going to judge that.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I'm going to get a read on you from what you do.
And right or wrong, but
but too often we draw too much of our identity, too much of our self-worth, and too much of where we find accomplishment and fulfillment in our lives from our work. And at the end of the day, again, that's a relationship and something that you're finding sustainment for. We go to work to gain what we need to continue the more important things in our lives, the things that are more central in our concentrica. Our job supports us, so we have things to teach other men. Right? And in that, we have brothers standing beside us. And with the things that I gain from my work, be it monetary or otherwise, I support my children and I support the household that I build with my wife. I don't think about it in those terms first, it takes over. Because how easy is it to feel that you're being successful in the relationship with your wife at all times?
Near impossible.
No, never.
It won't happen.
It's not going to happen, right?
Because it's always something I could have done better.
That is always a plate that needs to be spun, because yep, the need that your wife has is always going to be a little bit different, and you're always going to have to find a way to fit into that need. Now, can I be 100% at work?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can be. I can be.
I've been a rock star. Yeah.
put my face and my name on that employee of the month. Look at how goddamn successful I am.
Yep.
It's right there. It's on the wall. You can see it. I don't get a reward like that when I go home.
No.
You don't get that for mowing the yard after you come home from a hard day at work in 100-degree heat, and taking care of the dogs, picking up the kids from school, and rubbing your wife's feet.
You'll see those memes all the time. You see the little reels and stuff about, like, you know, I deserve a little bit of praise because I mowed the lawn, you know, or this turned my wife on because I did this little good deed. And you treat your relationship with your M2.0 sometimes like it's your work, because you're like, it's a very task-oriented thing. Your kids don't care if you mowed the lawn.
So here comes the secret to your Concentrica and how it feeds back into F3. And I want y'all to listen to this very carefully. Nobody cares. Work harder. Because you are the constant in all of these relationships. What you put into it is going to be what these relationships become. The other people get a say in it. But if you're not giving 100%, I guarantee the other person isn't. Or if they do, it won't be for long. Give the full measure that you have to that person in that moment and at that time. Sometimes you're going to need to give more time and energy into your oldest child than your youngest. And then some days it's going to be your wife that needs you more than your kids need you in that moment. Sometimes it's going to be that brother in that shield lock who's going to need that extra 15 minutes that you're going to have to take away from work. Time and energy, guys. Things you're never going to have enough of, and you're going to have to decide how to apply it and put it into these relationships.
You was going through proper crisis again, and you just got through the chapter where they're talking about death, and it's like the number one regret people have is they didn't put enough time and energy into their relationships. Yep.
So guys,
to end on a downer. Talking about death.
but it doesn't have to be. And I think if you've never read The Comfort Crisis, I can't endorse that enough. The point of that book and the thing that he pulls out of that is death doesn't have to be that downer, right? At the end of the day, if we're living our lives correctly, if we're living within our faith and we're putting the effort into our relationships that we should be, even if we're not ready when we get called home, if we're living in those relationships correctly, life will carry on here and we'll be accepted into what comes next as having served, right? And the people that we leave behind will be able to smile and say, I wish I had more time with him, but my life is better because he served.
That's some stuff worth sharing.
Absolutely. I think so too. So again, if you guys find this useful, if you believe this is stuff worth sharing and this kind of piques your interest, again, seek out QSource. There are physical copies of the book, but you can find it free online. Reach out. Find a guy. Find a guy to talk about this stuff. Because every time I discuss this with somebody, even if it's somebody I've had the conversation with before, I always gain something more. Right? That's how I get where I am, that I can talk about this the way that it is, because I'm always learning. I'm a student of this. So I love this. I love you guys. Doodle, why don't you take us out of here?
Yeah, and we'll see you in the gloom.
Love you guys.